Hello friends and welcome to Fey Earth, a magical world set in an alternate 19th century Earth, where every creature from folklore and fairy tale is real, have always been real, and lived alongside humanity. Join our adventurers as they explore a world of arcane mysteries and danger, where the new scientific and industrial age collides with an ancient world of fairy and magic.
Hello folks, and welcome back to Fey Earth, our indie TTRPG set in an alternate 19th century Earth where all the creatures from folklore and fairy tale are real, have always been real, and live alongside humanity. When last we'd left our heroes, they had been rescued, perhaps you could say, by their employer, Madame Gautier, who had sent a very, very fabulous and literally magical carriage to collect them from the site where they had found themselves fighting a rather unpleasant bunch of men, two of whom they killed, in a warehouse that was now being surrounded by constabulary and was slowly going on fire because of our pyromaniac witch, Gwyn. They were whisked away to Madame Gautier's house, where they had a conversation with her. She explained how these men had been basically thugs, had been trying to essentially screw her over, thinking that she's a simple, pretty woman and not someone we need to worry about. They were not completely honest with respect to the items that this group of men had obtained from the Fey Mound that they had been exploring. They did give one item to Madame Gautier, but kept the remaining items for themselves. And then when they returned to Amanita's parents' residence, Justine, using her abilities as a sorcerer, then cast the Detect Magic spell on the items to detect what they were. A number of very rare magical items. A very powerful spear which can send out a bolt of lightning at an enemy up to 3 times a day, a pair of enchanted boots which aid in stealth and acrobatics and agility, leave no tracks when walking over any sort of terrain, and keep you sure-footed even in greasy and slippery terrain, and a quite lovely pair of rings of heart's bond, which when worn, the two wearers essentially are aware of each other's feelings, will know when the other person is happy, sad, or in danger. They had a long night's rest, have leveled up, and now we shall return to the story. So, Feruz, you get up, you make yourself your breakfast that you have. Always kind of missing the food from back home. You've tried as much as you can, but it's just not the same, you know. You do miss the cuisines that you've grown up with.
I imagine like Feruz probably didn't learn how to cook till she left on her own, and then tried to recreate the recipes she missed through a very long series of trial and error. However, I will kind of liven up the mood. I do want to head there early, but first I'll grab something quick from the market on the way, and I would want to make breakfast over at Amanada's for everyone to have a good meal together before we decide what we're going to do.
Okay, right. So you get up earlier, you head to the market, you pick up some items, and you get to the house. So the rest of the party, as you all get up coming down, expecting, because Amanita's house is a pretty nice house, there's maids and cooks expecting that. You're hearing conversation coming from the kitchen. And a few moments later, the maid and Feruz come in with a selection of food. So Feruz, what do you cook?
I would make shakshuka, which is eggs that are cooked in tomatoes. So the eggs get poached in the tomato sauce. And given that this is France, I would find whatever cheese works as an option to add on top for anyone that wants. And generally, it's spiced, not spicy, just spiced, bell peppers, tomatoes, and the sauce and the eggs in the middle. And there's some bread.
Oh, my God.
And get hungry.
So Sylvia's not like this, but I am hungry in the morning.
I'm really hungry. I'm getting hungry now with all this talk of food.
I'm just going to be so excited to try something new that she's never tried before.
Yeah, and as everyone wakes up and says, there's breakfast, come eat quickly before the eggs overcook. They're a lot nicer when they're still a little bit gooey in the middle. A few might not be so gooey. I'm not perfect at it. But come eat. And
you don't need to tell me twice. Yep. Okay. Great. Amazing. Thank you so much.
Sorry, Neil. What date are we on? It's like the 28th.
Oh, sorry. Just give me 1 second. I'll put up the calendar.
Be the 28th for now.
Okay.
Apologies. It is the Wednesday, the 27th.
27th. Okay.
No, okay.
It's Wednesday, the 27th.
Okay.
Okay. So, right, you have a fabulous breakfast.
Yeah.
Amazing. Thank you.
After the bit of small talk and all that, and the breakfast, it will go, well, what is the plan for today?
I have to say, I'm very nervous that we did not tell Madame Gautier the entire truth.
I assumed that they were going to tell her because, you know, I thought she would be able to write and read our minds or immediately if we were not being honest, but she said nothing, so.
But I don't know, I don't know what happened and what we found, but what reason do we have to not tell her?
My only reason for keeping these from her was I knew Mina probably would want the spear. And I just wanted to be sure we were all in agreement of what we hand over.
I mean, maybe we can ask, like we tell her that this is everything we found. We don't know if the spear was his or not, but maybe
it mentions the spear.
Or I don't know, but like we can bring up the boxes if you guys got them. I don't know what is. Did we get everything?
Oh, there's the crates.
Two boxes become open.
Some of the crates were nailed down, so we did not take the time to try to open them.
So Justine knew exactly what had been in the warehouse because she'd been looking through the eyes of Anklagon, her dragon familiar who'd been hiding in the warehouse. So she'd known which crates were there. And then there was a new crate that was there when you went in to meet the gang. And that was the one that wasn't pinned, nailed down. The other ones, the older crates that Justine had seen had already been there earlier in the day. They were the ones that were nailed shut.
Okay. I doubt that they would have... Sorry.
Yeah. Justine?
Yeah, I doubt they would have left any valuable magical items there without supervision. Yeah, so yeah. I assume those other crates were just a way to potentially distract whoever comes for them.
Or whoever owns the weapons, maybe.
Or they actually belong.
Yeah.
I have a question, so slightly unrelated, but, you know, not unrelated because it is a magical item that they got. There is the question of the book, the Tome of the Sage. Then I think either you or myself, it would increase our magic. What do you think?
Oh, is knee frozen?
Sorry, I missed that. Yeah, my audio cut out for a second. Sorry, were you saying
something? I'm asking about the Tome of the Sage. Do you want it or will I take it? Is what I'm asking you, basically.
I'm happy with the mana receptacle if you want to keep that.
Okay. I will take the Tome of the Sage then.
You want to read it?
Yep.
So just
have another question.
Sorry to interrupt, Mina. Just to clarify on that, with the Tome of the Sage, how it works is that you spend 100 hours reading it over a period of no more than 7 days.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. I remember.
So you know what you have to do now.
Yep.
So that's a minimum of just over 14 hours per day spent reading.
Yes.
So 100 hours divided by 100 divided by 7, you know, so you're just flat out for pretty much the entire day, every
day. You sit down and read. Yep.
You seem to remember preparing for exams being just like, that's nothing. I arranged flowers and then I shot people and now I am here. So this is new for me.
So
looking at Scary Rose, just going to say, I was a soldier in the army. I didn't
read that much.
I wasn't happily murdering people. Sorry.
Don't worry. That wasn't what I assumed. I understood from some clues that you might have been a soldier, but thank you for clarifying.
Things taken out of context.
I'm
to enjoy when we go out of context.
I'm more used to fighting beasts and giant kin, especially, than people. So yeah.
Yeah, giants are people too.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know,
they aren't creatures.
Humans as such, I'm not really used to fighting. So. Oh,
me neither. I only joined the army. I was in the army, but before that I wasn't in active combat until the ones like this Arcadia broke out. So I had never fought another person.
I don't really know how to fight. I just like learning magic and I didn't want to just be basically in training to make little knickknacks forever. And here I am.
Look, you know, sometimes we decide, you know, the path laid out for us, it's not what's right. And so we make the decision to leave, you know.
I'm happy I ended up in Paris. Didn't expect to get into this much adventure, but honestly, as scary as that was, and as awful as it turned out, it was exciting.
Oh, yeah. You have the book now. Well, you did great. It was scary. It is scary work, but you were fantastic.
Thank you.
And you know, the spell you had to disappear when the man attacked you with a knife, very useful.
I really like the sneaky parts ever since I was a kid.
Excellent. Well, it'll serve you well in this line of work, I'm sure.
We all have our, you know, elements of magic that we enjoy. Gwen, as you know, loves to set things on fire.
Well,
I
do enjoy setting things on fire.
Let's set on fire till then. And can you tell me a little bit more about that?
I can. To be honest, I do enjoy setting things on fire, but only really because it's our way of using what was used against us. I had an ancestor many decades ago, and my great-great-grandmother, Althea, was burnt at the stake for practicing her art by men, supposedly religious men.
It was more than likely men.
And she was a herbalist and a midwife and was burnt at the stake. And so her daughter, my great-grandmother, swore to train up all the female members of her family to be powerful witches so that something like that would never happen to us again. And so I use fire because that was where it all began for my family. It's something really sacred to us. It's powerful. And we're reclaiming it. And yeah, every time I use it, it feels amazing. And I am always more than happy to do damage to those who did it to us originally. And yeah, I could go on and on about this, but suffice it to say, there's a reason behind what we all do, but that's mine.
Well, I think our families might relate just a little bit there. My family kind of just sees our magic as this just a random blessing, either whether you see it as divine or not, and we don't really go around saying it's magic so much as, oh, we're blessed or touched or something and just hidden off. But most of the magic that people really like is divination. So for me, all of this shadowy things and twilight that I like, it's not the most popular, but I enjoy it.
It's fascinating. And we'll have to share some tips. I think the magic I use is probably a bit more earthy and less refined. And my great grandmother, she collected magical spells from all over England. But they tend to use a lot more earthy physical items, I think, than like the high magic of sorcerers. But I would love to learn more about that. Yeah, so we'll have to come to
that. It would be cool if you could meet the witches that we have that are less popular, that are more of you hire to give curses and hexes. Those are not very well liked, but if you want something done, you go to them.
They are liked if people, you know, they require their services, they won't want to admit it, but they do like them. They need them, I think. You know?
I'll have to travel to your country one day, Farouz. It sounds amazing. Not just for the food, but now to meet some of those kindred spirits. So
maybe for the food. Maybe for the food.
Well, I might have something
to do for this trip, but honestly, I am in no rush to go back home.
Oh, I can relate to that feeling.
Well, we're glad you're here.
So am I. So, what are we doing with the items?
To be honest, I'm afraid she knows. I don't think we fully grasp exactly how powerful Madame Gauthier is. And I'm afraid she can read right through us, to be honest. So I would rather not her, but I will bear to the group.
I have to say the fact that, you know, when the man last night, they said, oh, the job was more complicated. I do have to wonder, did Madame Gauthier know the Fairmount was occupied? Is she going around robbing occupied Fairmounts? You know, this is something quite worrying. I know that you care for her, but I am not.
Yeah, I was wondering that too. Her.
Do we have a reason?
I was wondering that too.
Oh, just
not necessarily.
Just that the Fairmount was occupied. That is all. And I wonder, did she know?
I mean, it could be that they're returned because the Fae have been returning to the Tronchia Forest. So maybe
other Fae think that is a different situation. But
yeah, I know. But like after the war, maybe other Fae think like, oh, let's go back and reclaim stuff. That can always happen.
And
but
we do know. Sometimes they do return to.
But so, I'm also wondering. I'm also asking myself the same question.
Look, I confess I am very cynical and I do not always think the best of people. So I admit that. So part of that is my own, you know, I am.
Yeah, I know where you come from, Sylvia. I'm also actually asking the same. I'm wondering myself.
So just as a point of clarification, you all know artificers do so well. It's a thing that they kind of will do sometimes if they can. They have been known to go into Fae mounds and Fae sites in which the Fae are living to steal their magical items so they can study them and learn from them. It's one of these things that it's really dangerous. So they'll maybe hire some adventurers to do it for them. But there is also the thing that in France, as we all know, well, our viewers maybe not, when the French Revolution happened and the people turned on the human nobility, they then turned on the elven nobility. And the elven nobility fled France. Essentially, like, the elves are demigods, effectively. But when you have a rabid mob of over 100 humans with firearms and barrels of gunpowder storming a castle so full of hate and anger they don't care, they can get through those defenses. And when the first elven palace was attacked and the elves were killed, that sent a shock through all of the elven nobility of France. They were like, this has never happened. But this was having just seen a couple of years of the human nobility being wiped out in a way that had sent shockwaves across all of Europe. So there are these abandoned elven palaces scattered around France, and people do sometimes go into them. Most of the time they don't return. If they do, a lot of the time they're broken and mad, but they do occasionally return with great wealth and treasure. So that's a thing that exists unique to France. The elves that live in other parts of Europe, they don't, you know, they're just like the elves in France, even other elves consider them to be like kind of like cheap, that they were spending all their time basically having sex with human nobles and having parties in Versailles and all this stuff. And like they were like, you're more like humans than you are like fae. And so even when they fled to Arcadia, because Arcadia let them in, it was like, yeah, you've kind of brought this on yourself. You'd lost your way as elves and as fae. But maybe Madame Gautier didn't genuinely know, and maybe the site had been abandoned, but then the fae had returned, because that does sometimes happen. Maybe she did know, but thought these guys could sneak in and get out. Or maybe she's lying. Or maybe she's lying to you all.
Gwyn is going to choose to believe her.
Proven otherwise. You worked with her for the longest. You've been working for a couple of weeks with her for
A little over a month, I think we'd said, wasn't it?
More than a month, right? So what do you think, having been working with her day to day, really?
I mean, this is my impression, and Neil, correct me if I'm wrong, but Fitters would say, I don't see a reason why she would lie to us, or even if she was omitting something, I don't see a reason to assume the worst of her. If what she had done was shady and we had gotten hurt, then, and she really was someone who was capable of something awful, then wouldn't it have been a clean break to pretend that she had nothing to do with us? Instead, she did send that to help us, and she also offered to make sure our name's not part of this. We were sent there as part of, from her, but I don't have a reason to assume the worst of her. I feel like, at least even you guys, we've had a good relationship with her now. Why suddenly change now?
I have not changed. I you are probably right. I am just very slow to...
And the other way to look at it is, let's take the worst. Maybe she did lie, maybe. But do we want to be the cause of this bad relationship?
No.
We don't really have the reason to do that. Even if she never finds out, lying to her now means we sort of break the relationship.
This is probably true.
Christine, what do you think?
Sorry, who? My connection broke. Me? Yeah, I was like, oh, what do you think? And then I was like, who, me? But then I realized everyone else already spoken.
I was just saying, what do you think, Justine?
Yeah, I think there is really no point for us to keep the items, really.
We're risking more than we're potentially gaining.
Yeah, I agree.
That is actually true, yeah. I kind of wanted to know what we got, you know, but...
It's at this point Aminata chimes in and says, well, I could always tell Madame Gauthier that I went back to the warehouse with my ring, slipped past any constables, had a look around in the debris, and found these items.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
I think honesty is our best policy.
I'd even give up the spear, right? And I would just ask her, maybe I could lend it as long as I don't have Albert. Because to be honest with you all, once I have Albert back, because it'll take like, 2 weeks, wasn't it, Neil? And once I have him back, I pretty much will prefer to fight with Albert than the spear will be just lying in my goblin purse. But I'm just, you know, I mean, I'm just eager to have like a replacement in case we going somewhere.
Yeah.
And if I need a weapon. And I'm sure if I ask her, hey, would you mind lending me this as long as my own weapon is being enchanted? I'm sure she wouldn't have anything against that. You know?
I think that is quite fair. I think she would be happy enough to do that for us.
Yeah.
Okay. So is that the plan?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, I think I'm happy enough with that. I mean, it was really weird business last night. I'm not too happy how that turned out, but yeah, we were attacked, so we were defending ourselves. And...
So, does the group want to immediately go back to Madame Gauthier's shop with the new items and tell her, oh, we went back to the warehouse and we found these?
Yeah, I think Aminata saying she snuck in with the ring, that is actually, or, you know, we don't even have to tell her that she has the ring, but, like, I think that's uneasy.
I'm pretty sure at this stage Madame Gauthier knows that Aminata has the ability to turn invisible. She's used True Sight.
That's true, actually. Yeah, she's been seen. So, like, that's it. Like, she knows that she has this ability. It's quite plausible. So, there you go.
Yeah, and as we get there, just out of curiosity and wanting to learn, Feyruz would try to note down whatever she can understand from the items in her notebook.
Well,
it's just like a character moment of her learning.
Justine will be able to easily share what she learned from her casting of detect magic as well.
You can. You don't even have to do it on the way. You can easily do that in the front room, and we'd all happily let you like have a look at everything to make sketches and notes and God knows.
Super. Okay.
I'm picturing the cool notebook already.
Say that you guys jump in a hansom cab and you all head back to Madame Gauthier's house, or not her house, her shop. When you get there, like, between Feyruz coming with the breakfast, enjoying the fabulous breakfast, and then this conversation that you've had over tea and coffee, it's probably like 11 at the air, like at least 11,
a
little after 11 by the time you get to Madame Gauthier's, but you know, you get there, okay?
But that also makes sense if we're saying we went, or you know, I mean, one of us or a few of us went back totally up the tracks. Yeah,
it all ties in lovely. So you get there, and the bell rings as you go through into the shop. There's nobody there. The shop seems empty. But a moment later, she walks through a door from the back, and she says, "Ah, bon matin. Good morning to you all. How are we all doing, my dears?"
Better after a night's sleep.
Of course. You are looking much fresher today.
Mm-hmm. And how about you? How are you today?
I'm fabulous as always, my darling.
Well, thank you again for sending the your carriage to get us out. That was very much appreciated. Thank you so much.
So we have some good news. Aminata was able to slip back and procure whatever items we couldn't yesterday.
So at this stage, Aminata was explaining, yes, I we did think about it, so I went back to the warehouse. There was one or two constables still there, so I slipped on. I was able to get past them with my abilities. Rummaging through the rubble, I found these items, and we're pretty confident these must have been enchanted items. The fact that they survived the inferno caused by Gwyn, and we wanted to get them back to you immediately. So, can someone please roll deception for Aminata? Who would like to do that?
No, I'm crying single-digit roller over here. Absolutely
yeah,
not.
Yeah, no, I roll.
Feruz, are you doing it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, yeah, go on.
Aminata is quite good at lying, so she actually gets a plus 7 to the roll, okay? Plus 7.
Oh, wow.
Between her charm, her deception talent, and her wordsmith rogue skill, she has got quite the gift of the gab. Remember, she's...
Don't forget to have, you know, the inspiration.
Feruz is inspiration, not
Aminata.
Okay. No problem. So plus 7, you said?
Yes.
Bloody hell, that's quite good.
I rolled a 13.
Oh, actually, hold on, apologies, one second.
30-20.
No, wait. An additional plus 2, it's actually plus 9.
Yeah.
22. Why do we trust this person? She could be totally lying to us.
I know, right? Plus 7, plus 9. Holy moly.
Yeah. Bloody hell.
Wish I didn't know that, to be honest.
Okay, so,
everybody knows she's shady as hell, anyway.
Madame Gautier.
Oh, Aminata.
So, Madame Gautier, she kind of like, you see her eyes flicker a little bit at the, as Aminata says, just a slight flicker of her eyes says, well, thank you very much. That's so kind of you. I'm so excited to see the items. And you give to her the spear, the boots, and the Ring of Hearts bond, yes?
I'd like to understand the slight flicker.
You can give me an awareness roll.
I only have a plus 1, but I'll try.
Gwyn, do you want to tell her about the manor receptacle and ask her if you can keep it?
Yeah.
Go on, then. You have it, so if you want to let it out. 14.
You're not sure. You think maybe there's a chance Madame Gautier saw through Aminata's bullshit.
But listen, if she did, we are giving her stuff, so come on.
Yeah,
we are.
You're thinking shit.
Even if we have to save face with it, like, come on. We are still giving her the stuff, so do you know what I mean? Yeah.
Gwyn, you also show her the manor receptacle, yes?
Yes. And I'm going to ask her if I can keep it, because I've always wanted one.
So, wait, this was a personal item of one of the men you killed?
Or was
we
it?
May have looted their bodies.
Yeah. There you go, you can say that.
My darling, consider it a trophy.
Thank you so much, my dear.
Of course, my dear. There is an intense energy between these two women, okay? So you lay down the items and she gestures, not gestures, this time she pulls out from inside the folds of her fabulous, fabulous dress. Now, it's a day dress, it's not a ball gown, but it's still a fabulous day dress, okay?
Like, Mina is so jealous. I mean, like, even though she likes fighting and stuff, she also likes pretty dresses and pretty things, and she's just like, god damn, I could never pull anything like this off, and she's really jealous.
If you want to know what this NPC looks like, just pull up a picture of the actress Hannah Waddingham. That is basically who she is, okay? She is that gorgeous woman, okay? She's one of the most beautiful women, certainly at that age, okay? So that is exactly who she is. So it's the same pair of glasses. Now, Feruz, you actually do know what these are. These are called Artificer's Glasses, and they are simply glasses that have been enchanted by an artificer. They have detect magic enchantment in them, and also cool magnifying abilities as well. So an artificer, when looking at an item that they think is magical, they can literally see the enchantments in the item, okay?
Nice.
Goblin boots, I see. Oh, these are quite lovely. These rings of hearts bond.
Yeah. As she's looking at the rings, I want to use magic. Letter telepathy with Gwyn and just say, maybe you can shut it.
Shut up. And Gwyn just goes really red. And pretends to turn around and look at something on a shelf.
Sylvia has obviously picked up on this. And yeah. Just like.
So, and then she looks at the spirit and says,
Why are you blushing all of a sudden, my dear?
Nina, my dear, this spear is...
Gwyn just elbows you.
Madame Godet sees this exchange between you all.
She turns a second and she sees Gwyn blushing and Feyruz just silently snickering.
Oh my god, Gwyn is disgusted by this, by the way. She tries to remain cool in front of Madame Gautier at all times.
Yeah. Mina, obviously, everything goes over her head. She just sees you blushing like, why are you blushing? What's going on?
Sylvia is amused, but also a little bit sad, because these would have been nice in another life.
Yeah.
Yes, these would have. And I'm not even going to let you give me a resolve roll to try and keep your cool in front of Madame.
No,
right through you, Gwyn. So holding up the spear now, she says, Mina, this spear's actually got a similar enchantment to what you were wishing for your halberd.
That's it, really?
Yeah.
I don't know if it was from the Fae mount or if it was like the guy's personal or one of the guy's personal item, but I prefer my halberd, but it's gonna take 2 weeks if I could borrow it for the 2 weeks, or if you send us somewhere, or in case we need it. Would be nice to have a weapon as long as mine is being enchanted, Once I have mine back, to be honest, I prefer to use my halberd rather than the spear, So
I could use this spear to aid me in
really
your halberd.
No. Okay. Like copying the enchantment kind of a thing, is it? Or how does that work?
I could merge the weapons.
Oh, really?
So, Feyruz, when you hear this, you're like, holy shit, this woman is like epic tier level artificer. I knew I was working for somebody who was good. I did not know she was this good.
Yeah.
So merging the weapons, you say, that sounds very interesting.
It would greatly speed up the process, and I would
really
charge a bit less. How much did I say it would cost before?
150.
I could probably do it all for 100 now.
Oh, that would be brilliant. Yeah. Because we exchanged the one of the necklaces or one of the jewelry pieces for that.
You could keep the other 50 as store credit if you would like, because I'm sure you'll be
looking. Yeah, that'd be brilliant. Again. Oh, yeah, I'll definitely get more things. And if we could use it as, because it was a group thing and the group decided to upgrade the halberd. If anybody wants something, I think if we put it on the group,
Of course.
Anyone can use it, I'd be so happy with that.
Absolutely. Well,
but if you're willing to part with the spear, because that could easily have come from the Feymant. I honestly don't know.
I mean, these items are quite wonderful. These kind of anachronistic weapons, while favored by the Fae, only really collectors would have an interest in an item like this.
Really? Okay, interesting.
While I could make a considerable amount of money from an item like this, if at auction to collectors, your group has proven themselves to be extremely useful to me. And in the long run, I think it would be a far better investment for me if I more quickly aided you with an enchantment to your delightful polar.
Well, thank you. If you're willing to do that, I'd be absolutely delighted. I just find it really fascinating that is amazing.
Much of what we do as artificers is related to the science of alchemy, which is the transmutation of objects.
Very interesting indeed,
yeah. You, however, have one demand. The halberd, please.
Oh, I've left it with her.
No, because you had...
It's already in your shop.
No, because you had originally gone to one. You said it was 2 weeks. You were like, oh, I'll hold on to it because I'll actually need it for this.
Yeah, job. But that was to go into the goblin's house. And then after we went back, I left.
I thought you'd kept it for the...
No, I left it there. Hmm. Yeah. No. I went into... I died in the warehouse with no fucking halberd on me. So if you were playing with it, that's wrong.
I didn't know.
If you were using that, that's wrong. I was actually thinking, fuck, if we have a fight, I don't have halberd.
Well, you are a highly trained fusionist, in fairness. Okay, so.
I am a highly trained fusionist, right. Absolutely.
So she did that.
But that's why as soon as I saw the spear, I was like, oh, I need it, like, you know. My fingers are itching.
So, she says, thank you greatly for these other items that you so generously gave them to her. And she does tell you, Grim, to please enjoy your trophy of the manor receptacle.
I will.
It will be very useful to you.
Grapes, yes.
And she says she may have some work for you in a few days, perhaps. She is...
Excellent. I was actually going to ask if you had anything lined up.
I'm researching some other sites, making certain that my sources are accurate as to, you know, the
occupation
of these sites. The occupation, exactly, Mina, yes.
Good.
We do not want to have any mistakes. We do not want to be offending any fey creatures and making them angry with us. But yes, absolutely. Most certainly. But yes, I will be in touch with you in a few days, certainly.
Excellent.
Well, thank you, madam.
Okay. So, you guys go to leave the shop. What's the plan? Are you all going to leave, or do different people have different errands they maybe would wish to
run? Yeah, Mina's just gonna take her leave and tell the people, like, listen, guys, I just kind of need to clear my head after this whole thing, and I just gonna take a wander around if you don't mind. Yeah, and you know, you guys know I can look after myself, and I'll just take a cab home, you know.
Okay, mind yourself.
And I'm wandering off.
Okay. Right. Anybody else doing anything, or the rest of you is planning on heading back to Amanatus? I will say this, that we have our four spellcasters here. Sylvia, Gwyn, you do need to spend some time meditating for your spells, and our two sorcerers need to do arcane research to get their spells to
activate the shadows. Miss her.
We always want to miss her.
Will we say that the spellcasters go back to Amanada's house? Feruz, maybe you go back to your rooms.
Sylvia would only be doing stuff like checking her chronogram.
Okay. So you are
not reading your book.
Yeah.
No, I'm not doing that today because I have to meditate today, so I want to use as much time. So I have to brush three times.
Meditation will take you 6 hours. It's 1 hour per spell level. So for each of you, it's 1 hour per spell level. So it'll be 6 hours of meditation and 6 hours of arcane research.
Oh yes, now I know.
It's still that long. No.
Yeah. So Mina, the part of the departs, you go a wandering. You've already been taking some wandering around, getting to know the city, and going to some of the less reputable, some of the less safe parts of the city in your travels, in your endeavors, looking around. And you did get told that there was somebody that you might be able to talk to in a particular tavern, in a particularly disreputable part of Paris. So you heading in that direction. It's at this stage between getting to Madame Gautier's and then finishing, it's probably about like 1-ish. So it's getting into the afternoon. You head to the tavern. Okay, you get there. You don't take a cab. You walk because you know cabs don't really like to go into that part of the city. All right. It's more towards the edge. There's a lot of tenements around. And you get to this tavern. It's a small little tavern. It's dingy. There is a sign. You can't read the paint on it. It's been faded for years. But this is the location that you were told. Going inside, it's pearly lit. There's no fairy globes or anything like that. It's oil lamps leaving soot marks on the walls. There's a smell of urine and feces of some mammal. There's a grotty looking guy behind the bar. As he sees you, he kind of looks at you. He's like, women do not come in here. And well, some women do, but they don't look like you.
Yeah.
They're a certain type of woman who's lived a very difficult life to come into this establishment.
I'm saying I'm not wearing my skirts, I'm wearing my patch.
Yes. So, as you walk up to the bar, he says, bonjour.
Bonjour. I was told to talk to you about certain unsanctioned activities of a fighting nature.
He looks very surprised. This is the last thing he was expecting to come out of your mouth. Sorry. Did I hear that correctly, Mademoiselle?
Absolutely. If you want to, even I'm a fighter, and if you want proof, I can happily demonstrate.
Andre, and he's shouting out, and you hear some footsteps, and coming from a door out of a side room, this guy walks into you now. He looks to be in his like mid-30s, average height, kind of auburn hair, kind of longish, wavy. He's got a mustache and like handlebar mustache that comes up into mustachios. He's like, you know, he's one of these guys who's, he's clearly someone who's had a rough life, you know. He's wearing okay clothes, like he's better dressed than the barman. And he's wearing the kind of clothing of somebody who does not come from a lot of money, but they try to use what little they have to make themselves look more respectable.
And he goes, sure, I respect that.
Andre, this mademoiselle she wants to talk to you. And he looks at the bar. Andre looks at the barman, looks at you, looks back at the barman, looks back at you. D'accord? 2 pints of your piss, mon ami. And then the guy pours 2 pints, hands them to him, and he gestures to a little table.
I grab my drink and follow him.
So, mademoiselle, what can I help you with?
Well, I heard that if I'm interested in doing some fighting of the more unsanctioned nature, I should talk to. I should come here and talk to people here.
I'll be blunt. A petite mademoiselle like yourself is not the kind of people that you are. And this is the thing. Mina is tiny.
That triggers me.
She's tiny. She is tiny. What is it we said you were? Like 153 or something crazy like that?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, she is tiny. So,
and she heard that all her life, and she's really like trying to pull it back, like she's like,
I will be
blunt. I'm getting serious. Fucking,
I will be blunt.
Edward Elric.
I organize entertainment for the wealthier members of society, but it is,
I understand,
entertainment that is enjoyed because it is dangerous for those who participate. Very dangerous.
Oh yeah, I understand.
And you are a very, very petite young woman.
I understand. I've also fought giants and ogres and Lugaku and Lugaru and yeah, amongst other things.
Where is it you are from?
I'm Swiss, monsieur.
Ah, that's the accent. I thought you might be Bavarian or something. I wasn't sure. I was like,
that's close enough.
Okay, so you are a Swiss. The Swiss are good fighters. Okay. Okay. And you can see.
And I was trained by the best.
Okay. The fact that you've told them that you're Swiss is actually completely flipping, because the Swiss have a reputation. The Swiss is where the giant fighters come from. Okay, specialist mercenaries who specifically train to fight giants and trolls and ogres. So the fact you've told them you're Swiss, that's flipped his perception of you immediately, okay? This is a guy who's clearly not an idiot. He's actually clearly someone, like, you're talking to him, you see, this guy's actually pretty fucking intelligent, okay? He's not going to just automatically make the mistake of assumptions based on appearance.
Yeah. Like, when to be honest, Mina is very impressed when he said, I thought he were Bavarian or something, or Austrian or something. She's quite, I'm impressed that somebody from the streets of Paris will kind of recognize,
you
know.
The Swiss-German accent would be closer to the Bavarian or Austrian than it would be to, like, Berlin or Nuremberg or anywhere like that, yeah.
Absolutely.
So, so he's clearly a guy who knows a bit about the world. Okay, d'accord. Well, we do have some entertainment arranged for this Friday evening. If you would like to participate, there is of course a kitty on each of our shows. The participants, they get a cut naturally, and all I will say is each show does go on for some time. They're not quick. We don't want them quick. We don't want them done in two or three punches. It's all about putting on the show. The longer the show goes on, the greater the kitty grows, and the more of a cut that you would get from that, mademoiselle. If you are,
I understand. So this,
now, naturally, it is barehanded, as the gods brought us into this earth.
Barehanded. I hope, yeah. And not anything else bare.
So, if you are interested, come to Notre Dame on Friday night. Be there at 9 o'clock. One of my men will be given your description, and he will lead you to our venue of wonder.
That sounds perfect.
Well, I very much look forward to seeing your show. My name is André Auclair, and he reaches out a hand.
I reach my hand and shake his and say, Mina Zwissig.
Okay. And he gives you a proper shake. It's not like, not one of these, it's not
and
like,
I give him a proper kind of,
but it's like, it's not one of these limp things, but it's also not one of these, delicate, you're a lady. Like, he's giving you a proper, he's a proper shake.
Yeah. And I properly shake and grab his hand, like, properly as well, really kind of give it a good squeeze, you know.
Okay. Yeah. So, right. Well, having arranged for some activities this Friday that only you know of course, the rest of the party are spellcasters busy with their work, learning their new spells to add to their Book of Shadows, and hopefully you will get your halberd back soon enough with this enchantment and maybe another job for Madame Gautier. I think this is a perfect place to pause in our story. So, thank you everybody for a wonderful evening. We hope you had as much fun as we did. And be sure to be following us on the socials. We're still active on Twitter. While there is a Twitter, screw Muskie, I will not call it anything but Twitter. We're also on Blue Sky. You can find us on YouTube. We do have a Discord. There's links in the chat, and you can get links to them on our socials as well. This really fun, it's a small but growing Discord, full of nerds, especially nerds who love their folklore. But apart from that, I'm going to say good night all, and we shall see you all again next week. Same bad time, same bad channel. Bye.
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 If you like this game and would like to support us, please remember that we will be launching our Kickstarter very soon at the start of March, trying to raise money required to go through the very expensive process of commissioning artists and editors and printers to publish Fey Earth and bring this world to life. Something we cannot do without your support and are immensely grateful for.